September the 22nd, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speak, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran Surah 3 Ayah 7. Men of understanding. Allah reveals secrets to whom he pleases. Who are the logical, albeit, men who have first knowledge? It's a rational mind that is pure, innocent, and logical mind. It's first innocent and pure, then later it becomes corrupt in the world. The Quran Surah 3, Ayah 7, you are obeyed, people of the original knowledge. Mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran that no one gets the hidden meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that knows the hidden meanings in another place. The only one to get it is you are obeyed, or either it's because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing, or Ul-Abaid. Ul-Abaid means the people of the original knowledge who got that original knowledge. People blessed with the original knowledge who are blessed with the first principles, the essence. Those who are blessed with the essence, when you are blessed with the essence, it's like keys and you can unlock. Ul-Abaid is more than men of understanding. They understand because they've got something that nobody else got. So babe simply means door or gate or study or chapter. Ul our babe means that they got the very first one, the very first knowledge, the one that Moses was questioning. He says that was Melchizedek. Melchizedek, I could agree with him, but that's a bad way to put Moses, bad light to put Moses in, because Melchizedek means spirit of truth. And if the spirit of truth was not obeyed by Moses, looked like Moses was disobedient. Imam Kamiluddin, I heard you referred to as the nature as Melchizedek. Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad, that's right. Imam Kamiluddin, the nature that one you rise up in the human being after he. Melchizedek is the natural transmission to conscience. Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad, the original nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set the original nature is Melchizedek. But only when that nature is consciously being transmitted. So when that nature is purely being transmitted in the right way, and truly purity is being transmitted through the conscience, that's Melchizedek, yes sir. And Moses did have trouble following that. So Moses was a man given the temperamental outbursts, and God says in the Quran that that was before his conversion or before his prophethood, and mind and remind those who change, pardon me, and remind those who charge him with being that way that was before his prophethood. The trip of him and the wise man was before his prophethood. Nature awakens conscious, which improves nature. Once he got the understanding, Melchizedek said, it's on you now. Your conscience, it has entered your conscience. It shows you how the conscience is supposed to be the leader. The nature is supposed to awaken the conscience only. But once the conscience is awakened, then it's supposed to be studied, the nature to improve upon the nature and to free the nature, to give greater freedom to the nature. So it begins to prepare a place for the nature, a greater place in the world, a more dignified place in the world for the nature. But it can't do anything until it gets life first, or first gets life. Imam W. Dean Muhammad, yes? That's right. Now, he finally saw when he told him how many times Hadira told him, Moses, he told him 3 times. Yes, see, that's the key, the number of times he told him. So the 3rd time meant that now it has entered into spiritual conscience. See, nature tries to awaken us. Nature tries to awaken us, nature itself, to flesh, but that's not where it wants to get. It wants to get into the consciousness. So if it finally comes into the intellect, right, and the intellect is blind, a lot of times can't see it, but finally it gets through the intellect into the conscience, and once it gets there, that's it. You take it from there. So the nature will knock on your rational mind forever. But once it enters your conscience, if you don't pay attention to it, it just slips right out of the way. So if that's what you want to go on, the conscience means that really you have recognized it. When once the thing enters your conscience, you have recognized it, you have accepted it. Yes, sir. Whether you understand it or not, you have accepted it. Once you have accepted it, it is your responsibility. So once you accept it, it's your responsibility. So the wrong can be in your habit. Wrong can be even in your rational thinking. But you won't be punished for it. But once it enters your conscience, a lot of people do wrong, but they do it because their intellect can't see the evil. So when the intellect sees the evil, that means it has entered. So nature made a mother to birth the conscience. Isn't that wonderful how nature has made a mother? And we call it Mother Nature. Nature is our mother. Mother isn't going to care for you always. She is going to care for you until you resemble or you're responsible. If you aren't responsible, it's your fault. I taught you right. So the Quran Surah 3, Ayah 7, the Quran verse basis, allegorical. Allegorical resikuna. The Quran Surah 3, Ayah 7, Quran verses basics and allegorical. Allegorical mustahabiha means it resembles and explains. So one term here in this translation, allegorical, is a subject of dispute in certain circles of the Islamic scholars. Many of them object to the translation allegorical. The English term allegorical, all allegorical means describing, casting, representing, putting in picture that is abstract or that is referred to function, relationships, etc. Putting in picture that which is abstract, picture form, to better convey the idea to the mind. So this is a simple statement, is what allegorical means. Now, with that particular translation of this word in Quranic Arabic, mustabiha. So they have difficulties with it, just like I just did. So if I say something yesterday, using the same word in the present tense verb from something yesterday, it means it resembles that. But this word, mustabiha, is a very sensitive and technical expression. It doesn't mean just a simple resemblance or a symbolic representation. It also means that it is what you call the word analytical. Analytical means something that is not only conveying in picture or symbol, but is also explaining something. So restikuna means firmness, deep knowledge. Now, the term restikuna is the plural form of the kind of a non-verb. If you can understand that terminology, for one person, it would be restika, restika, restikiha. And it says, these restikuna, they say all of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is this telling us? It is telling us, drawing our attention to the tendency in the studious, ambiguous student, and some people caught up in mysticism, secret doctrines, the tendency in them to grab concepts and run with them, thinking that they got it all. So this is what this is addressing. And those people who do that, they run to the beach and they look for the deepest water and they dive off that pier that is in front of the deepest water possible for them. And they go off into it and they try to swim instead of going to the moderate water first and see if you can swim in that. If you can swim in that, then take off into the deep water. So you know that will be safer. So it refers to people like that, and they are not grounded in knowledge. What is the meaning of grounded in knowledge? Here again, we have a problem finding a term would do justice to Arabic terms. Rastikuna sil alam. So what do we mean by grounded in the knowledge? Restikun is a word that carries with it not only firmness, but depth. Those who have depths of knowledge, deep knowledge. Those who have roots of knowledge. Those who have etymological sciences. Now, how many understand that who is telling me what I should say? Who is teaching me every time they get a chance? How many kind of understanding? Only a few people have that kind of understanding. And it takes long study to get that kind of understanding. And it takes a blessing of God. God rewards your long search and the blessings of Almighty God. So I just want to let a couple of the people know here that because I don't reply back to you, don't think I don't hear you. I hear you, and I am the imam here, and I don't want to get excited. I'm the imam here, and I'm the leader of this community if I don't want you here. I can tell you to go anytime I get ready. That's right. So don't think that I don't see you and hear you. I do. But you're welcome to stay here. You can't make any trouble for me. Kuna, persons comfortable, not tense with the knowledge. So this word, restikuna, also means that the person is comfortable with his knowledge. Those who are all tense and tight with their knowledge, they can't be the restikun. If you are the restikun, you are not uptight. You are not rigid. You are not an ice man. If you are really a restikuna, you relax and you're comfortable with your knowledge. And you see Allah is the greatest. Allahu Akbar. Some are kind of different teachers, you know. I don't know what you expect when you come to here. Maybe you expect a man who is going to come out and rail people for being in sin. Maybe some of you think that you're going to come out and hear somebody conform to the formalities of the intellectual orator. I don't know what you expect when you come here for the first time. So maybe when you come here, you see me and say, oh, what is this? He doesn't know what he's doing. He hasn't got it together. Well, I am a man like this. To be comfortable, I like to be comfortable. Something that I have something on my mind, and I want to rush right to it and get it over. And sometimes I want to just relax. So when I can be myself, so I prefer to just be myself. So I'm not rushing. I'm relaxing. I'm just taking it easy. I'm being myself as always. So Quran Surah 3, Ayah 7, Ul Albayt, men of understanding. Ul Albayt, bayt means the door, but when you put it in the language, it doesn't mean door, it means more than door. Ul means first, and Albayt means the door. So the first door or the first of the doors. The doors in the singular, but you could say the first of the doors, or the first door, men of the first door. And it means men of moral logic, men of logical governing how we should behave. That's the first door. Men who are devoted to the reasoning and the logic that governs how human beings are to behave. I said morals, but it's a little bit more than just morals. And that's a logic that evolved naturally. And it was first exercise or reasoning for human beings. First thing they wanted to deal with was human behavior. Because if the human is being, if they don't accept some discipline for their behavior, how can they then perform in any field of discipline if they can't discipline themselves? So it is the first door is not right. It is the first door, men of the first door. It also means possessor. UL could mean possessor. They are owners, possessors of the door. By a certain reasoning, owners of the door. They are the first at the door, and because they are first at the door, they are owners of the door. So this is philosophical language, reasoning that supports life and nature. That's what it is. The reasoning that wants to serve to uplift of nature and life, men of logic, loosely speaking. So the Quran, Surah 4, Ayat 1, created from a single soul. So in Scripture, God is also telling the man that not only has he forgotten that he has to work for the survival of himself as a human person or soul, he has forgotten he must work for the survival of his flesh. So the man was treated, his woman, he was treating his woman as though she belonged not to his flesh. However, the man was not mistreating his woman because his flesh had gotten off the track. He was mistreating her because his inner person had gotten off the track. So the male needs a female to reproduce himself. But God was letting the man know that how he was going to produce something that would have the ability to reproduce its mate out of itself. Therefore, although it functioned like a male, it also has the power to act within itself and function as a female. So this is the prophets who produce societies out of his divine knowledge, which then reproduce other humans. And in the Bible, prophet is called she because he can function as both. So the main role of the leader is to function as a male, which is to give the germ of life to the society. So when there is no society to receive the germ, he has to put himself in the society and feed himself. How? Before one gives his germ, he gives his body so that there will be a receptor to receive his germ. So the Quran, Surah 4, Ayat 1, mankind form one soul. Genesis 2:21-23. Eve helped me from rib. So God is not some weird magician that brings earth together, turns it into flesh, all of a sudden reaches in it, and then takes out a rib from a person that he has already made complete. If he needed the rib, why didn't he leave it out in the first place? So this is the description of someone doing hazardous work or a patched-up job. To take a man saying that we need a woman, then go back into the man and tear his chest open to take a rib out to make a woman. So what is this writing in the Genesis on Adam? Is wisdom, and it makes a lot of sense when you interpret it rightly. But without the knowledge to read the language properly, you are lost. What is the rib, and who is this Adam? So this Adam is Jesus, the prophet, deep sleep. So this Adam is Jesus, the prophet, that God made. So after making him, he turned him over to the world. So the man was completed and perfect. God made him. But when he turned his body, his teaching, his thoughts, his mind over to the world, it fell under a deep sleep. It was only perfect and right as long as it was in Jesus, and Jesus was with God. So once Jesus was taken away from God, meaning that he left the world, passed away, or die. That the Jesus of that particular body of spiritual knowledge, wisdom and understanding was given to the world. So the world is a God. So the world is called a God. In the world itself, under a deep sleep and begin to have a desire. It felt lonely. And it needed or wanted something. Pardon me. So the book says, in Genesis, that it is not good that the man should be alone. So this man, that just means that it is not good that the early Christian community should be lonely and suffering like it was. So with God, is this what God is just speaking? This is not the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is the creator of the church. So Adam himself, and he was already dead divinely. So the birth of life was not as the Bible Genesis will make you think, the birth of divine origin. This birth was the birth of a graphic world order. It was the birth of something false or contrary to divine. So men should not be alone. Help meet is environment. So then man comes to life and he saw a need for a wife. So the Bible doesn't say wife. It says that the man should not be alone. So the man felt lonely. He needed something for himself. So the Bible says that God made for him a helpmeet in the early part of Genesis. So the word help, meet, is referring to the physical environment that we come into. It is not referring to a woman as you have been taught. It goes on to refer to the physical environment in its higher evolution. So first, there was nothing but simple earth, crude, raw creation. Later, this woman is called the religious church or the religious body. Also, a woman is called the biological woman or the man's physical wife. But the physical wife is the last thing that the book, Bible, is talking about. So the main thing is talking about is the church or the Christian church. So with the rib, a woman was made. So the book says that the man went into a deep sleep. After he went into a deep sleep, a rib was taken out of him. With the rib, the woman was made. Do you know that there are people, some of whom are intelligent, who are foolish enough to really believe that this actually happened that way? This is possible because they were raised to think in such a way. You can't bring a man from China who has never raised in the Christian community and tell him that story and get him to accept that way, accept it that way. You will confuse him so much that he will be speaking some language that won't even be till grown. Along now, because it is small, persecuted, and suffering. So we have to give it a help meet. So this is much in this. But we don't have time to give it all to you. The help meet was material growth and material accumulations. The church needed some material wealth. Bone, symbolic, the knowledge that supports rib, symbolic of sentimentality. So the scripture tells us that the woman was made from the rib of the man. Rib of the man means from one of the bones that is weak and flexible. You can bend it out of shape, and it's close to the heart, the rib. Is close to the heart. What bone is this? And what do we mean by bone? Bone means a body of knowledge. In divine language, bone means knowledge that is strong enough to support the moral form of the people, like your bones and your body are strong enough to support your flesh. So this God that is doing the work of the grafted, not the real God, he takes from the total body of knowledge that Jesus left in the world, the weakest body of knowledge. And the total body was what we call sentimentality, emotionalism. So that's the real that was taken out of that body of knowledge called Jesus in Genesis to make the church. Deep sleep fell on wisdom, body of knowledge. So what happened is that the man, the church terms, where it was once united with God to his wife, church is not Jesus' body, but this church is made of Jesus' body. The man turned to it and listened to it instead of to the God that formed Jesus himself. So what happened to the true spirit, the true mind, the wisdom, the body of knowledge, the body of Jesus? So when this happened, it fell asleep. Here was nothing to contend to feed it. It was no longer in touch with the divine makeup. It only had emotionalism feeding it, so it went into a deep sleep. So forbidden tree is truth mixed with knowledge. So the book says that the one tree was pointed out to the man, and he was told not to eat of it because the day that he eats of it, he will surely die. So what is the forbidden tree? That if you eat of it, you will surely die. It is mixed up. Knowledge lies mixed with truth. Religious truth mixed up with religious lies. It is the tree of the religious lies and the religious truth growing together in one tree. So when you eat the fruit of that tree, you are eating a religious body of knowledge that looks like religion. But when it goes into you, there are religious lies in that truth. It kills you spiritually. It kills you spiritually. It kills you as a divine person. Or, I don't believe that. I know that I'm a good Christian, and it didn't kill me. Well, maybe you are not dead yet, but you are dying. If you hold on to Christianity, you will soon be dead. So man's three parts: will, intelligence, and wit. So there are three parts of the man. In the human form, there is willpower, there is also wit, that part of the intelligence that glorifies in its own product. It's like to show off. Wit in man was once not a show-off thing. It was humble and submissive, and it was agreeable with divine dictate. So when it was in that form, it was upright. So the serpent upright is obedient, intelligent, later cursed to lick the dust. So in Genesis, the serpent is described as an upright serpent before it committed sin. Remember that the serpent here is not wit, but obedient, intelligent. So when the serpent committed sin, it was cursed to go on its belly in the earth according to the Genesis. So this means that if you turn your intelligence into a tool to match wit with the divine being, you will fall down on the earth. For God will no longer feed your intelligence. It won't remain upright. It won't have the power to stand up against the gravity of materialism. It will fall down on the earth, crawling like a snake, and it will be cursed to lick the dust. That means that it will be cursed to feed upon nothing but materialism, and that will prevent the continuation of its divine growth. Willpower first obedience. Wit not always intelligence. So we have in the story the willpower. Originally, it was will in the man that was given to creation by God from his own will. So the will came into the world, become intelligent, and was upright until it rebelled against its own maker. When it rebelled against its maker, intelligence fell down to wit. So wit is not always intelligence. Let's see if we can give you something that will help you to see this. Even in our common talk today, we may speak of another person as being a low creature, still carrying this old language from thousands of years ago. So we mean that he goes like a snake on the ground, out of view, crawling so he can hide in the grass. Women, woe men, wound of mine. So the Quran, Surah 4, Ayat 1, reverence the wound that bore you. 1 Samuel 2:5, the barren has borne 7. They that will fill who have hired out themselves for bread, and they were hungry, cease. So that the barren has borne seven, and she that has many children is waxed fleeable. So women, woe, man, meaning woe of mine, woe unto man. Genesis 22 and the rib, which the Lord God has taken from man, made him a woe man. And brought her into the man. He made a woe man, just like Adam didn't turn out to be what he intended the first time. The woe man, that I did not say woman. Most people don't say woe man the way woman, and that is because the Christians went astray from the path. In the opening prayer that we say from all occasions, not of those who went astray. So the Christians went astray, and they got the wrong idea about the woman and started calling her woe man, or woe of the mind, woe unto the man. So woman is the womb of man. So mother brings the child to a second womb. Now, we didn't do that. Those who strayed did that. So when you study the natural function of woman from human society, she is the womb. Every life comes from her, male and female, high and low. She gets them first, and she has to pass them on to us, right? And if she is a good mother, she will pass that child on to us after she has brought that child to a second womb. The first womb is her natural womb. Then she takes the child into her loving care, and she raises and disciplines him to protect him from the hard life. So mother with women possess to her child. Man is not really a word, but words. So she gives him a beginning in the road of knowledge. And that knowledge gives, and the knowledge she gives him, we call it mother wit. So after she passes him out of the womb of her home, the traditional knowledge that has been passed down to the mother, whatever knowledge she has, or the spirit, God, religion, or whatever experience she has herself, her learning, she tries to give the best of that to her child, so that when her child goes from her and follows futures or father out there in the streets with the men who are not really a word but words. The house is a word if it is a good house. The streets is not a word but words. So he's going to run into many words in the streets. So she knows all of these words don't agree. They are in conflict with each other, and her child needs protection. So she gives the child the best of herself so that her child will survive when it goes out into the world. That's because it is many worlds that differ one with the other. It's a jungle, a wild wilderness, so to speak. So Genesis 22 and the rib, which is the Lord God had taken from man, made him a woman and brought her into the man. And Adam said, this is now bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. He shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So in scripture, at first, he made a woe man. He didn't get the woman. So we are getting the woman now. So the man did not say, Adam said, this is now bones of my bones. Here it makes us believe that woe means to take out. But you can't find a definition for that anywhere. So it is not the definition, but there is something implied, hinted here. Since the woman was separated from the man, now she is no more whole. with the man, no more agreeable with the man. So she is the woe of the man. I want you to know, sisters, this is not talking about you as a female or a flesh biological being. The barren has borne seven. Hannah is a society unable to produce a prophet. Society is called woman. The woman, childless, can be mother to her husband. Let us look at another thing in the Bible that is very important. I want to repeat down from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 5. Barren means a woman who was not able to have a child or did not have one until that time. So she was blessed. Who is this talking about? This is a talking about Hannah. And I know you have heard the song, Hard-Hearted Hannah. I'm not talking about that Hannah, who is the ramp of Savannah, Georgia. Hannah was a woman who's barren. She had not given birth, and she was growing old. And she not have her husband with a child. So she wanted a child. So this made her bitter because she didn't have a child. So this is the woman's nature. If they cannot give birth, what are they here for? They are here to have children. Most of them don't know that just simply because they're physically in the visual womb cannot deliver, it does not mean that they should not have children. She is a woman. She still has her nature. She has all the power, the faculties, and all of the sentiments of a woman. So the motherly nature and the motherly knowledge is there. So if she wants to be a mother, all she has to do, just she does not have a child, be a mother to her husband. Her husband needs a mother. The husband needs his mother, and he misses her. Don't think that when a man leaves his mother, he does not miss her. So when I'm talking about now, I read this verse to get on another subject that it is, guess what, is a prophet and how is a prophet born. So when we have a woman here, Hannah, who is really a society, and it hasn't been able to give birth or realize among them a prophet, a godly inspired man who is able to give them inspired knowledge. So the society is called woman. So when you read the Bible from the beginning to the end, and you will see the society is called woman. These are called women. Society becomes your mother. Judge becomes your father. Society are called woman. Why? Because when you leave your home, or if you are born an orphan, or if you are a child in the streets without parents, what's going to be your mother, society? You will grow up and live and leave your father's house. Whose house do you come under? You come under the rule of society. Society becomes your mother. And the judge becomes your father. And if mother turns you over to father, you get the whipping. I'm just trying to help you so that you can read this book and make some sense of it. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayah 17, God destroyed Jesus' mother. Who else has power? Matthew 26:39, Jesus prays, takes on ground. He doesn't just have a Holy Ghost. And Jesus Christ working with him, whoever forces you to see is working with him, even if it's working against him, it is working with him. Nothing can work against him without working with him. Because if he's working against him, he is going to manifest its wrongness, its wrongdoing. Is going to manifest or prove itself wrong. It's going to prove itself inferior to God's will and plan. So I'm working against God in the end. That thing testifies to the glory of God. So look, all of these oppositions to God, when you look at it in Scripture, what does it do? Does it hurt God? No. Testifies to the glory and the might of God. Is that not right? So see, everything served God, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, nothing comes to me in any statute except the statute of a servant. So he doesn't allow any creature coming to him as a God. You can only come to him as a servant. As what he is saying in our holy book, all the law that man have made, they have to have what the Creator did before. They got started. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in our holy book, he says, what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would decide to destroy Jesus and his mother and every creature on the back of the earth? Who could bring them back? Now, I think Jesus loved this kind of talk. Why? The Quran, Surah 5, Ayah 27 to 31, Son of Adam. Genesis 4, 1, Cain and Abel. War on ability, daktira equals ability, thinking that at Abel was older than and was the son of Adam. Cain was considered Eve's child. So I got a child from the Lord equal. I've taken the behavior nature from God. It's no more. With God, it's obeying me, devil. So Jacob goes his start from his mother, who taught him how to deceive. So Eve was teaching Cain equal. She would be in his influence, not God. Abel gave the flesh of the womb to God. And Cain gave the fruit of the ground as sacrifice. So fruit of the womb is the behavior. Abel gave his behavior to God. He obeyed God in his behavior. Cain didn't obey God. In his behavior, he gave fruit of the ground equal. He thought by him progressing the intellect that he was serving God. And he thought that this aided the intellect to develop was a greater charity, sacrifice to God, than obedience. The world of the wicked thinks our righteousness is nothing, as much of the tribute to God as the advancement of the sciences, etc. Trouble came from the king, came, trouble came. Craftsmen in all fields, skillful artisans, industrialization, modernization of the world came from Cain. Trouble means the power, science, how to form material matter, instruments to contain the spirit. Jubal came, the musician makes a tub that the spirit goes into. That tub, it makes the sound like he likes. It appeals not to his intellectual ear, but to his sensuous ear. Not only the musical instrument, but the mold of a dentist industrially is now becoming tools to house your spirit. If you can form the material environment so it can contain the spirit of the man, then however you designed it, that's how its spirit will come out. Abel must have been the religious order, society, that was here before industrialization, industrialists. And the industrialists killed his brother who was before him by beating him in the head. The one working to cultivate the spiritual life, moral nature, so human nature could be proper before God. The other was working to extract all the sciences out of the matter universe. So he got jealous, and he got jealous of his brother, because the people cared more for the service that Abel was doing than Cain. Cain wanted to take the admiration, influence from his brother. So Cain is the Western democracy. The industrialist wants to discredit the moral, God-fearing man. He took up a stone, threw it, and hit his brother in the head. The blood soaked the ground, equal. The blood of the life of the religious society. They have taken that science that was to feed wisdom, the God's human behavior, and take it and make it just an appetite. So they take it now only to appeal to their intellect instead of taking it to know how to behave. Cain is the Western democracy. The people who manage the resources of the earth are those who war on the ability of the common man. Your main fight is not racism. It is a fight to defend your ability. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayat 27 to 31. Abel, Cain. Genesis 4, 2 to 15, Cain and Abel. Hadith, ink of a scholar, more precious than the blood of a martyr. 1 Corinthians 3, 2, milk said not meat, you not be able to handle it. So what is the difference between their two sacrifices? One, his sacrifice was of the ground. His sacrifice was of the reed. The reed is a plant that grows straight up. Cain, that is where he gets his name. God didn't want his sacrifice. He wanted Abel's sacrifice. What was Abel's sacrifice? Abel's sacrifice was sheep. Cain reads material logic. So the reed that Cain reads, strained reed, represents material logic. Material logic followed a straight course. It must be consistent. You establish a premise. The second premise must support the first premise. They must follow consistent, but it does not have body. Its purpose is not to give body. Its purpose is only to establish a discipline. And it is a logic, so the purpose is to establish a great non-violating discipline. So the reed got a big opening in it. Cain, the reed, got a big opening in it. So most of the reed grows up with a big hole in them. So he offered that to God. God does not accept that offering. Why? Because he didn't make the first offering. The acceptable is the sheep. You didn't offer the sheep. You offered to Cain. Oh, I'm going to give something to God's wisdom. I got some great material wisdom. I'm going to give this to the world. This will make a great contribution to the world. The world, great material world, offered great logic. I'm going to give them material. So God says, where is your sheep? Your reed and jam it. So sheep, what does sheep represent? Sheep represents, human sheep represent the human. The sheep is an animal that is in his attribute. It's like the beauty of the human being. He is peaceful. He is not warlike. So this is the attribute that we love in the human being. So we love to see human beings loving, not proud, sociable, warm nature. This is the sheep. Allah wants you to have that first. If you want to give him something, give him that. Show Allah that you are human, that you are warm-hearted. Show him that you are sociable, natural, with other human beings. Show him that your greatest work that you have, you are charitable with it. Sheep more wool than need charity. So the sheep is a warm and natural animal, But look, he grows more wool than he needs. So you can take his wool and put it on you. Sacrifice only certain animals. The Quran, Surah 22, Ayah 37. Sacrifice your piety, not blood, reaches God. So we are only allowed to sacrifice certain animals. So we can't sacrifice any animal at the Hajj, in the Hajj. Only certain animals, sheep, cows, cattle, goats. You can't go there with snakes and dogs and things like that. What is the meaning of sacrificing the sheep? If the sheep are so good, why do we sacrifice them? Actually, you don't understand the meaning of sacrifice. Sacrificing the sheep, you don't eat his blood. It is forbidden for us to eat his blood. His blood is supposed to be for according to Scripture. But God says, what you offer me, it doesn't come to me. What comes to me is your righteousness. It says that what you sacrifice to me on the altar doesn't come to me. So what is the meaning of this sacrifice of the sheep? It means that even the attributes in you must not be a selfish attribute. It must not be something in you for society. It must be something in you for Allah. Your human motivation should not be for society. It should be for Allah. Meat represents knowledge. What should you give society? You give society the meat. What does the meat represent? It represents the knowledge, the motivation. Give it to Allah. The drive, the motivation, the ambition, give it to Allah. Submit it to him. God, my will, my motivation, my ambitions are all for you. It is not for political power. It is not for humanizing society. God, it is for you. You are the number one for everything that I do. You are number one. I can't put society before you. Wouldn't it be wrong to say that I am going to be human and humanitarian for society's sake? When Allah made me like this and put this nature in me and put it in you and made it possible for me to reach you with this nature, then why should I say I am being humanitarian for society's sake? I'm being humanitarian for Allah's sake. I am doing it to please Allah. Now I'm obligated to give you the knowledge. And the book said, oh, a lot of, in religion, they can handle milk, but you know how to handle meat. Meat stands for the knowledge, the wisdom, the sciences. Sacrifice, give your ambitions. So the sacrifice means you give your humanitarian motivation, your peaceful motivation, your peaceful ambition, like the sheep gives it for Allah's sake. If you don't give it for Allah's sake, your humanitarianism will become a disease on society. Sadaqallahu al-Adhim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this next week. On Wednesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m., inshallah, it only means that it pleased God. We thank New Africa, excellent Mirage Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.